Hi, my name is Chris A. I am a compulsive debtor. This recording is sponsored by the Sedona Into Action DA meeting. This recording is part of a series of phone workshops called the Solvent Saturday series. The inspiration for this workshop series was to create a long-term resource for working the steps in Debtors Anonymous. It seemed fitting to us to find long-timers in DA with solvency to help us create this resource. Today's speaker is Jan S., and Jan will be speaking on Step 1, DA's First Spiritual Challenge.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Chris. I hope everyone can hear me well. My name is Jan. I'm a compulsive debtor. I recently celebrated 19 years without having incurred any unsecured debt. My solvency date is March 21st, 1996, and my home group is in Burlington, Vermont, the Solvent Saturday Group of Burlington. We meet every Saturday morning. I want to start by noting that this week is the 39th anniversary of Debtors Anonymous. We celebrate our fellowship's anniversary this week each year, and it was 39 years ago. It's also something special this year because coming up to our 40th anniversary, there are a lot of activities planned for the year ahead. So our 40th anniversary, there's going to be a lot of activities and historical stuff coming up in the year ahead, and this week kind of kicks that off. So happy birthday, Debtors Anonymous. In talking about step one, I'm going to split this really into three parts. The first, I'm going to tell a little bit of my story, and how I took step one. The second part, I'm going to talk about the spiritual challenge that step one represents for DA. Debtors seem to have a special problem with step one that has really affected our fellowship in a lot of ways, and I'll be mentioning that. And thirdly, I'll be giving some practical advice on how to take the first step successfully and how to act as a sponsor in taking others through step one. So that's the game plan anyhow. I'll do the best I can. I'm also going to apologize in advance. I've got a little spring cold here. You may hear me cough or sneeze a little bit. I apologize for that. So my story. I've been a debtor as long as I can remember. I can't remember a time when I was not a debtor. Always kind of pathologically dependent on other people. Always looking to other people to bail me out or help me or support me. I remember from earliest childhood, I had the common the common characteristic of every single debtor, and that is the feeling that there's not enough. I remember from very, 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 very early on, there's not enough in the world for me. I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'll never be enough. There's not enough. And that feeling just pervaded and poisoned my whole life. And I didn't know what to do about it. The other characteristic I had that's common of all debtors is that I didn't know how to meet my needs. I remember being a kid and wanting a bicycle so badly. I just wanted a bicycle more than anything in the world. This is the 1950s. This is a long time ago. So I remember you could buy a very nice bicycle then for like $20. And I would get money periodically for my birthday or whatever, for Christmas. And I could have easily saved up and bought the bicycle, within a relatively reasonable period of time. And yet every time I got, that money, I got $1 or $2 or $5 as a present, I would immediately spend it on something frivolous. And I was never able to save. I was never able to, have the idea that I could meet some of my longer-term needs if I just put that money aside. It always just went, I guess you could say that my emotions were in charge of my finances. That's not how most people deal with the world. Most people deal with the world, and logic is in charge of their finances. But for me, it was if I felt lonely or scared or any of a dozen different emotions, I always, you know, covered it up by running out and spending money on something. Now, it's not unusual to be dependent when you're a child, but as I got older, that dependence on other people stayed with me. And that's when it really became noticeable. And at a time in my high school and college life when I should have been independent and providing a lot of things for myself, I just never learned to do that. I was always making up hard luck stories, getting other people to pay for me, getting other people to provide things for me. As I got still older and went out into the workforce, it was pretty much the same thing. I was unable to plan for long-term needs. I was unable to plan to meet my needs, and it really didn't matter. Sometimes I made a lot of money. Sometimes I didn't make so much money. But no matter what I made, it was all gone, and I never really had anything to show for it. So this went on for a long time, and I suppose it would have caught up with me, you know, at some point, except that I had other things kind of obscuring that. I'm not going to get into, you know, other stories here, except to say that at 40 I got sober in AA, and you know, the nature of compulsive debting is such that that the credits don't transfer from another addiction or another 12-step program. And I was sober 9 years in AA, had worked the steps. I was the kind of person that people thought had good sobriety, and I did service. And yet, I still, you know, my debting just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And my situation got worse as I had fewer and fewer enablers, and I began to lose a lot of the people who had enabled me. So I got to DA just before my 50th birthday, and I was really desperate. I was very, very, very deeply in debt. I did not believe that I would ever be able to get out of debt. I owed so much money. I was earning very little money. I had just, you know, I was at the end of my rope. I had lost one of the houses I owned. I was on the verge of losing another house. I was just, you know, operating out of sheer desperation. I had, you know, I used to lie awake at night, and my stomach would just grind night after night after night after night, just worried sick. And I was very fortunate. I lived at the time in a very rural area. Well, I still do. And I didn't know anything about DA, but there were no DA meetings within 200 miles of where I lived. And a man moved to my area, and I ran into him at AA meetings. And this guy started talking about how he had once had the same problems that I'd had, and he didn't have them anymore. And this guy really terrified me, but he intrigued me too. And I finally got the courage to talk to him, and it turns out that he knew all about Debtors Anonymous. He was the only person within 200 miles in any direction at that time who knew anything about Debtors Anonymous. And he became my sponsor, and I just was so incredibly lucky to have this man as my sponsor, because he believed in, you know, our original recovery program as handed down from our founders. He was tough as nails, and the first thing he told me was that no matter what, you can't debt. You cannot incur any unsecured debt, no matter what. And I had, of course, many, many excuses why that was not possible. You know, I owed all this money, and I didn't make much money, and I was, you know, screwed up emotionally, and I had all these other things wrong with me. And he said, well, that's all very interesting, but you can't debt. and I'll help you. And so little by little, we began working this program. And on March 21st, 1996, I took the first step. I admitted that I was a compulsive debtor and that I could not debt under any circumstances, that if I were to debt, my life would again become unmanageable, that there were no circumstances under which I could get away with debting. And that first year or two were very, very, very hard. But the miracles also from making that commitment to not debt started almost immediately. And some of them were just really spooky, really eerie. I had only been working like 14 hours a week and wondering why I didn't have any money. Within a couple of weeks, my boss came to me, "Well, would you like to work, 23 hours a week?" And I said, "Sure." My sponsor said, "Yes, do it." And then I don't know, a few weeks later, my boss said, "Well, do you want to work 29 hours a week?" And before you knew it, I was working 40 hours a week, and I had more money. But even then, this was all very difficult for me. The one thing I managed to do correct was that I managed not to debt. And there were some months I had like $4 left over. I kept going to my sponsor with a lot of whining and about how I had all these debts and I would never pay them off and it was all hopeless and I would never have a normal life, et cetera, et cetera. And he said that what he told me was that he really wasn't concerned about how quickly I paid my debts off, that the purpose of the program was not to get rich quick. It was not necessarily to get out of debt quick. He said what he was interested in is that I would have a personality change and a spiritual awakening, that I would become the kind of person who would start to, for the first time in my life, start to squarely face my problems, would start to admit problems when I had them, would start to take action on them, and would start to be responsible and begin to keep commitments. When I made commitments, I would keep them. And I was told, and after a while, I began paying back my debts at the ridiculously small amount of $10 a month. And he said that was all right. Well, he wanted me to be the kind of person who made an effort, no matter how little money I had, that I was making an effort, that I was doing the best that I could. And as these things happened, more and more miracles began to happen. I started getting raises out of nowhere. Money began to appear just sort of mysteriously out of places. I understood later that while they were miracles, they weren't really coming out of nowhere. They were coming out of the fact that as I was piling up time in solvency, I was becoming a much more responsible person. I was becoming a person who was much more reliable, that I was someone who people at work were looking at and saying, "This guy's, got something on the ball. Let's give him some opportunities." And I was having that personality change or that spiritual awakening, and people were responding. And so slowly, over the next several years, I began to pay down that mountain of debt. I began to save for the first time in my life. I opened my first savings account at the age of 50. I opened my first IRA at the age of 51. I began to save for many of my needs. I began to pay cash for everything. And I began to learn the nature of what DA really is, that we learn to meet our real needs. And in the early years, a lot of that was just rebuilding infrastructure. I didn't have a car, and so, I had to learn how to pay all the expenses that came with the car and get a good running car on the road. I was not living in a nice place, and I had to learn how to, get a better place to live. I had to learn how to do a whole bunch of things that I hadn't been able to do for myself before. After 5 or 6 years in DA, I began to really meet some long-term goals. I'd been saving for some things. I'd had this dream of having a prudent reserve of $5,000. And in the beginning, when I started, that seemed impossible. And my sponsor told me, to simply save $10 a week. And after 6 years, I had a prudent reserve of $5,000. And he told me to, I had a dream of buying a new car for cash. And after 7 years, I saved up enough money and I went down and bought a new car for cash. And I did a lot of these things. And after 7 or 8 years in DA, some real, real deep things began to come true for me. I began to understand the real nature of who I was and what I was about and the things that I really wanted to do. I was so inspired by the story in, I know it's in the first edition of Currency of Hope, where the guy talks about having all these beautiful hopes and dreams when he was young, and then he began debting, and all his the hopes and dreams, the deepest yearnings of his soul were like at the bottom of a mile-deep hole, and every time he used a credit card, every time he used, he bounced a check or paid a bill late, that it was like throwing a shovel of dirt in that hole. And then he got to DA, and every day that he didn't use a credit card, every day that he didn't pay a bill late, every day that he didn't do these things, it was like taking another shovel full of dirt out of that hole. And eventually those hopes and dreams became visible to him again and became part of his life. And it was exactly like that for me. I began hanging out with people with really long-term solvency, people with 20 years or more of continuous solvency in DA, and learning from them. And so the years have flown by, and my life today is just so amazing. It's something that I could not even have imagined then, and it's entirely because I have been willing to keep that commitment I made 19 years ago. I've taken the first step, and I've never taken it back. I've admitted that I'm a compulsive debtor, that I can't debt, and I haven't debted in that time. And this thing seems to get more amazing with every year that goes by. The people I know who have really long-term solvency, all tell me pretty much the same thing, that this has been the impact of making that a way of life for them. So anyway, that's enough on my personal story. I know that every year for the last 19 years, it's gotten better, and I expect that that will continue for many years in the future. I want to touch also, and this is really important, on the on DA's spiritual challenge with the first step. If you go to, for example, if you go to an AA meeting, you go to that meeting, and about probably 98% of the people at that meeting will be sober. And many of them will be sober 10, 20, 30, 40 years. And if you go to most DA meetings today, this wasn't always the case. It was not the case in our early years, but it is today, that you won't find many people who are solvent. You'll find people who are have a lot of problems, a lot of people who are still debting, a lot of people who will talk at great length about their problems, about their financial problems, but not too many people who've actually begun to start on those, to make a start on solving those problems. And it's become clear to me that the reason for this decline in our membership over the last 20 years, for this decline in the number of people who are recovering in DA, the decline in the number of long-timers who attend our meetings, has to do with the reluctance to take the first step. And we, since the 90s, we have moved away from the steps. DA in the 90s became primarily a tools program. People became enamored of the tools and stopped doing work on the steps. In order to take step one, we have to do two things. The first half of step one says simply that we admitted we were powerless over debt. And the way we admit that we're powerless over debt is to admit that we're a debtor. if you had gone to a DA meeting at any time in maybe the first 20 years or so of our existence, you would have heard everyone, virtually everyone, say, you know, I'm so-and-so and I'm a compulsive debtor. And now you go to a meeting and it gets worse every year and you hear the laundry list. The laundry list is, you know, I'm an under-clutterer and an over-shopper and I'm a shopper till I drop her and I just can't stop her and I'm a spender on a bender looking for a lender and I make more than Sue, woo-hoo, and I make less than you, boo-hoo, and I'm this and I'm that and the other thing, and it goes on and on and on. And it seems like a lot of what we have today are simply excuses for not taking the first step rather than taking the first step. And it really saddens me when I see how few people are recovering at so many of our meetings today. I was intrigued last year in going to a meeting in the richest town in the United States. And I'd heard about this meeting for years, and I was wondering why this town even had a DA meeting, because the houses there sell in the tens of millions of dollars, and the people there make, you know, they're the head of Fortune 500 companies, and they make, you know, in the millions. And so I was very interested to see what the DA meeting would be like there. And so I went there, and it was a very large meeting, and there were a lot of people who had a lot of problems with debt, an awful lot of problems with debt. And, you know, you're a debtor. If you make $5 million a year and you spend $6 million, you're as much of a debtor as someone who makes $5,000 a year and spends $6,000. And there were about 25 people at this meeting, and they went around the table, and not a single person at that meeting admitted they were a debtor. Not a single person. About a third of them said, you know, they were under-earners, which is kind of funny. And about two-thirds of them said, what was it? Oh, yes, I'm recovering in this program, whatever that means. I don't even really know what that means. But it's all about not taking the first step. So the laundry list gets longer and longer and longer each year. A lot of you have probably heard the San Diego statement, which was released by the General Service Board in 2006, that gave, you know, that said that basically DA is not growing because people are ignoring the experience of our founders of our program, which is based in exclusively on not debting, and are now want to talk about anything except not debting. The second example of how we don't take step one is the lack of a solvency date. So if you don't have a solvency date, you probably are still debting. I'll use the example of AA again here. AA has the highest recovery rate of any 12-step program anywhere. And if you go to an AA meeting, you will find that 99.9% of the people in AA have a sobriety date. It's the last day, the date of their last drink. If you go to a DA meeting, you'll find very few people, or you'll find, you know, evasive answers such as, well, I've been around for a while. I've been going to meetings, but you won't find people who actually say, well, I stopped debting on such and such a date. The third problem we have with step one in our fellowship is this increasing tendency to take forms of debting and pretend they're not debting. It was always clearly understood that, you know, using a credit card is debting. And now we hear often from people who say, well, if you, you know, use a credit card and you pay it within a month, it's not really debting. Well, I didn't actually pay it within a month. I So if you don't pay it within 2 months, it's not debting. And, oh, I didn't get around to paying. Well, if you didn't pay it within 3 months, it's not debting. And on it goes. I know people who've taken out student loans for $300,000 who that has crippled them financially for life and made it impossible for them to ever repay, and they'll insist that that student loans are not a debt. And we're very fortunate in DA because our founders were extremely clear on what debting is. They have a strict definition of what debting is, and it's very easy to follow. Debting is any form of debt not backed up by collateral is unsecured debt. So enough of that. I'm going to move on to practical tips for taking the first step, and this is what I tell sponsees when I work with them. Generally, I will not sponsor someone or do a pressure meeting for them until they have been solvent at least 90 days. And it's really important. If someone is not willing to make a bare beginning on the program, they're not willing to at least make a beginning, at least stop debting for that short period of time, then there's really very little that I can do to help them. So the first thing is, you don't debt no matter what. The second thing is to identify as a compulsive debtor. That's pretty self-explanatory. The third thing is to devote all of your energy to not debting rather than making up excuses for why one form or another of debting is not debting. And to ask for help regularly to not debt. I remember, back in those very, very early days for me, not knowing what to do, not knowing how I was going to make it through the week, not knowing how I'd make it to the end of the month, and going to my sponsor again and again and again. And he always figured out a way not to debt. There's always a way not to debt. So in guiding people through the first step, I find it extremely important to have people do writing. And I meet with each of my sponsees once a week for an hour. I guarantee them that time each week. And when we're on step one, we go over their understanding of what debting is. We go over their willingness to not debt. And then we start talking about their debting history. And it is exceedingly important that people write about their debting history. Denial is the biggest enemy that we have in DA, and it's almost amazing to consider how we can debt again and again and again and again and again, and not understand that debting is responsible for our problems. And I'll give you some examples of this. When I was actively debting, I had an electric bill and it was $50 and it was due next week. And I had $50 in the bank. Okay, no problem. I can pay my electric bill. But then let's say that I got lonely or scared or had some sort of emotional thing going on. And so I went out to the store and bought $50 worth of self-help books and with the $50. And then the next week would come and my electric bill would be due and I wouldn't have the money to pay it. And I don't know how many dozens or hundreds of times I did something like that. It's a very common thing among debtors to do this way. But it's not just so much that I did it, it's that I never understood that the fact that I'd spent $50 on self-help books, or it could have been, shoes or clothes or anything, it could have been any camping equipment, could have been anything. The fact that I let my emotions run my finances, that I never got that was the reason that I couldn't pay my electric bill. It just never occurred to me. Now, a normal person would understand this. A normal person wouldn't do it in the first place. But I never understood the connection between those two things, that I couldn't pay my electric bill because I had spent the money that was earmarked for my electric bill the week before on something frivolous. And I've done this hundreds of times. I did it hundreds of times in my debting career. Most debtors have. And by having your sponsee write down specific instances of things like this is so valuable, because it takes us a long time to get the fact that we are a debtor, that this is what being a debtor is about. I'll give another example. Someone I know very well in the program spent 30 years desperately wanting to buy a house, desperately wanting, and coming to DA year after year and saying, oh, I'm so poor, I can't buy a house, I can't buy a house, I'm so poor, woe is me. And we sat down, and this is a person who consistently bounced checks. This is a person who bounced checks, you know, like constantly, and had very large bounced check fees. So we actually sat down and added up all of the bounced check fees over the last several decades, and found out that had this person not had those bounced check fees, there was enough money in bounced check fees to pay cash for a house, a beautiful house. And once again, as a debtor, this individual was completely unable to make the connection. And so when we write this down, when we write down the exact nature of our debting, it begins to get through to us that we can't do this in the future. One of the other examples I had was I was in a lot of trouble because I had not paid taxes in 9 years. I had not filed income tax returns with the IRS for 9 years at the time that I got to DA, and did not see anything unusual about this. I didn't think this was wrong. I didn't think it was debting. I didn't think it was anything. It was just I didn't like to file income tax returns. And it wasn't until I started writing this down that I began to understand that, yes, not paying your taxes is debting. The more specific you can be, the more you can write down about this, the more it will become clear to you that you are a compulsive debtor. And so I have my sponsees do this. Sometimes I have them write for 2, 3, 4 weeks. It takes a long time. We have such denial about our debting behavior that it takes a long time for us to realize that, yes, there was a pattern here. There was a very, very clear pattern. That pattern was, something that happened year after year after year after year. And so the first step, what we're aiming at here, and I look back today at what my sponsor said to me about DA. DA is not a get-rich-quick scheme, although certainly over the years I have a great deal more money and a great deal better financial situation than I had when I came to DA. DA is not about paying off your debts quickly. I paid off my debts slowly, and I'm now completely out of debt, and thank God for that. That was a wonderful thing. But my sponsor said, I'm really interested in you becoming a different kind of a person. And that's what we're, a person who's honest, who's forthright, a person who meets his responsibilities, a person who keeps commitments. I want you to be a happy, productive person who pays his way in the world and live in a different way, not living the way that you've been living. I have a good friend in DA who, thanks to this program this year, paid more in income taxes than most people ever make in a year. And it's very interesting because we had a good laugh over this, over how he's paying a fortune in income taxes. And he says, you know, I love doing this because it shows that I made so much money that I can pay this much in taxes, and I'm, you know, that much further ahead. And and that's really I had my second sponsor in DA. I remember, I'll never forget this. He said to me quite early on, he said, you know, he said, I really love taking care of my family. And I didn't understand what he meant at the time, because I then was having trouble just taking care of myself, let alone taking care of anybody else. But it's through this process of learning to support ourselves, to pay our way in the world, to take care of those we love, that we start developing high self-esteem. We begin feeling competent, confident, and capable. We leave behind that debilitating way of life that the compulsive debtor lives, that bleeds us of all our... Thank you. That bleeds us of all happiness and self-respect. So in DA, you know, you've all heard people say, you know, DA, long-timers in DA have a joke about DA, and we say, you know, it's not about the money. It's about the money, but it's not about the money. It's not about the money. It's about the money, et cetera, et cetera. And we all laugh. And because we know that in the beginning, DA seems to be about the money. There's nothing else we can think about. It seems to be, how are we ever going to get out of this? These jackpots we're in? How are we ever going to get out of these hopeless situations that we're in? How are we ever going to, you know, build a decent life for ourselves? But as we stay solvent and make that a way of life, what we find is that DA is about a whole lot more than just the money. That's just the beginning. We're dealing with sanity. We're developing sanity. We're developing clarity. We're developing integrity. And that's really what this is about. And I guess I'm gonna finish up here, use my last couple minutes to talk about a conversation I had with an individual who has the longest continuous solvency in DA, who's alive today. This individual has 37 years of solvency, continuous solvency. He's never debted. And so I had a conversation with her, and I'll never forget this conversation. You know, she said after 10 years, things were so good that I just couldn't even imagine they could get any better. And then after 20 years, they had gotten so much better that things had happened to me that I never even could have imagined at 10 years. And then, you know, at 30 years, they had gotten so much better than they were at 20 years that this whole thing just unfolded and unfolded and unfolded and became so much better that I could never even imagine this stuff happening to me at 20 years. And that I see as a model. I still spend a lot of time talking with people with 20, 25, 30 years of continuous solvency because they've attained this. I'm a good chunk of the way there, and yet I still have a ways to go, and their example inspires me. So I think I'm almost out of time. I'm going to end maybe a minute or two early here.